Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Thanks for tuning in to KDXU on this glorious Thursday morning. See, now my wife would say it's not glorious, it's cold. But I like it to be a little bit cold, Nanette. Nanette Billings, mayor of Hurricane, is with me today. I like a little brisk in the air.
To me, it's cool. My fingers are cold. But you know, that's just because I'm a cold-blooded person.
And you're too
not cold-hearted, but cold-blooded.
You're too skinny, too. You need some meat on your bones. But thanks for coming in today. It is like 36 degrees. I guess that's kind of cold, but I don't know. It's going to be 65 today.
I got in my car at 5:30. It was 27 degrees.
Whew.
It was cold.
Whew. Yeah, that is kind of cold.
Yeah.
I've been talking, Mayor, now for 2 weeks, about maybe 3 weeks even, about Bake with the Mayor with Nanette Billings. Now, the thing I wrote an article about it on our website. The thing I loved about it, it was kind of a throwback event. I mean, nowadays you've got, you know, waivers and vetting and lawyers and insurance. I mean, everything about this event that you did, Bake with the Mayor, it's not supposed to happen anymore, right? It's the new America. This kind of thing isn't supposed to happen. And I'm just like, I love what Nanette Billings has done here. She said, you know what? Go get a pumpkin, pay $10, which was incredibly cheap, and then go over. They'll give you her address. Go over to her house, and she'll help you bake a pie. It's amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what possessed me.
Okay.
If you can call it that, possessed. I had actually had a dream about being in a field with all these pumpkins, and It was the day after Halloween.
Okay.
And I went out to take care of my pumpkins because they were carved, and I always bring them in, cut them up, and I steam them, and then I either put them in Ziploc bags after processed them so that they can be used for pumpkin whatever kind of dessert or
yeah.
We, I like to even juice this pumpkin just like in soup and different things too.
Yeah.
But anyway, or I bottle it. And I'm taking care of my pumpkin early in the morning on that day. And I actually text my friend who runs Fisher Family Farms, Katie, and I said, hey, I had a dream last night about all these pumpkins. Do you have a lot of pumpkins left or do you just have a little bit? I mean, are you guys like, are you out because you had this great big event during October? And she said, we still have a lot of pumpkins left.
Really?
I said, well, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, maybe if people could come and to help you get rid of your pumpkins, how about they come and they buy the pumpkins and I'll take care of all the stuff to bake a pie. And then come to my house. So they paid for your pumpkins because they buy your pumpkins and you get rid of them. And then I will help them make a pie. But I'm not going to use that pumpkin. I'm going to teach them how to do it and then go home and do their own. And so I got my own pumpkins and all my pie stuff, and I helped them make crust from scratch. We made the pie in about 20 minutes. Everyone made a pie in about 20 minutes, and we had 29 people that came.
Amazing.
And we made 57 pies, and then we gave the rest away. But
nice.
It was a super fun day, and I was just trying to help Fisher Family Farms sell their pumpkins because I went, that would be a good thing for them. And a lot of people don't know how to make pie, and they think it's hard. And when we were talking, how long do you think it's going to take?
It is hard.
Oh,
if you haven't done
not.
It.
Well, I guess. Yeah. But I said to them, I said, how long, when people would come in, I said, how long do you think it's going to take us to make a pie? And they said, 1 hour. And I said, in 15 to 20 minutes, we will have pies done. And they go, really? And I went, it takes an hour to bake after that. But you can make two pies for your family for a Sunday dinner, or you eat it and then give another one to someone else, but you can make pies in 15 to 20 minutes. And they said, really? So I helped him make the crust, roll it out, make the pie, and then bake it. And so in 15, 20 minutes, make it, and then an hour to cook. But it was a really fun time. Had a lot of good people.
No, I want to show you. I have a cut here and here and here because When we do it, we don't steam the pumpkin, and maybe we need to change our way we do it. We take the pumpkin, we cut it up, still raw, and then we peel the skin off, because you can't put the skin doesn't go in the, you know, that's not part of the meat.
Oh, yeah. I use the skin.
And then we puree it and freeze it.
Okay. I never peel it. The skin has a lot of vitamins.
Use the skin.
Yeah, and you blend it. And the skin has a lot of vitamins. I just wash it off, and then I steam it.
Chop up okay the skin?
Is it puree? I blend it in my Vitamix. And really? It's awesome. And it's delicious.
Because my injuries, 3 different cuts on my hand were all from getting the skin off.
Okay, I don't take off the skin.
Okay, well.
Most of the skins that you eat that have the most vitamins and nutrients are from the skin of whatever.
Really?
It is. So, yeah.
I did not. We don't want to spend a lot of time on it, obviously.
But
the skin.
Yeah.
Leave it on.
It's okay. Good.
I'm going to tell of course, if you painted your, the issues. We paint our pumpkins every year, so you'd have to wash the paint off if you didn't peel it.
Correct.
So that's a complication there, too. But
I just carved mine. I don't ever paint them. But
bake with the mayor. You said you had 29 people come do it?
29, and we made 57 pies.
That is so cool.
It was a really fun day.
I love it. I love
12
it.
Hours.
And you opened up
great.
Your home. People
I did.
Came to your house and
people
did
came
it.
To so they bought their pumpkins at Fisher Family Farm, and then they told them where my address is.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just
you
came
pay
to
for
my
your
house.
Pumpkin,
it was
you get
really
the
fun.
Address. And
yep.
Were you nervous at all about some stranger coming to your house?
I was not, but I did have another person there to make sure that I was good, and I had a sister there.
Where was Willie?
He was hunting elk.
Okay. He had a gun, but he wasn't anywhere close.
Well, I have a gun, but he wasn't there. he was hunting with my grandson.
Okay. Okay, but it worked. It was fun. It was a good
event. It was a really
great
day.
I love it. And like I said, to me, it feels like old school. It feels like America. It feels like, you and I grew up in an era, in the 60s and 70s where, and I know we weren't around in the 50s, but in the 60s and 70s where, you did that kind of thing. You went to the mayor's house, or you had a community, hayride or whatever it is, And sadly, a lot of that stuff is, for whatever reason, safety or precaution or whatever, has gone away. So.
Well, I had a brother get on our family group text because I texted him out and said, hey, to tell my family, I have a huge family, So yeah. I was telling them, hey, come over. If you want to make pies, make sure that your family comes. And my brother gets on and he said, you are officially a crazy person. And then I had his wife reach out and she said, this is so Leslie Knope. And I said, who's Leslie Knope? She goes, have you never watched Park and Rec? And I said, no, I have not. And she goes,
Stockton's over there going, exactly. But both of us,
so
we don't watch this.
Knope.
So we don't
know. Okay, I don't know who that is. And I haven't watched any Parks and Rec, but I don't care.
Is Leslie a guy or a girl?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Okay. What's the name of the conservative guy? I'm going to turn your mic on real quick. The conservative guy that is always doing conservative stuff on Parks and Rec.
Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson. That's it. I've heard his name before, but I've never heard of Leslie Knope. Sorry. I don't know.
I haven't watched it.
But now we know.
I don't watch a lot of TV, so.
Okay. We're talking with Hurricane Mayor and pie extraordinaire Nanette Billings today. Before we get into some of the stuff that's happening, let's talk about Veterans Park. We've talked about it a lot the last couple of times you've been on. Do we have a target date? I know you have a lot of the stuff, but now it just needs to get done.
Yeah, so target date is whenever all of our volunteers get done with their part. And I hate not saying that I was hoping September 11th, but I'm not in charge of when people that are donating their time.
November 11th.
I was hoping September.
Oh, you were 11th. Hoping September.
And then we were hoping November, but now, then we said maybe December 17th so we can do Reads Across America. It's probably going to be Memorial Day in May, but this is crazy because just the time our granite we ordered in June just got delivered yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And the granite where we're putting the people's names.
And you still have to engrave it.
And so we're just barely getting ready it's going to take a little bit of time the next couple of weeks to put the cement and the granite in and all of those things. But we just received the pavilion. And so one of the contractors is putting that up. It'll be up soon. We got the flags about 2 weeks ago and they're going to be put up. So we have the 6 branches of military plus the U.S. and the state flag. We also have, three statues that are going to be in the park and we're waiting for those. One's a statue with a soldier carrying another soldier over his shoulder and it's
heavy.
Going to be beautiful. Yeah. It's a beautiful life size. It's 1.5 times. So it's a large, beautiful statue. Another one is the fallen soldier. So you have your helmet, your rifle, like the AR-15, and then it has I don't know if it's an AK-47. I have to look at it closer. And then 2 boots. And so it's just for the fallen soldier. We also have another eagle. And so then we've got all of the branches of the military symbols. We've got some beautiful things that are going in the park. But we're just, I have to say, we have awesome people that have been donating, and it's just on the backs of getting the work done. And we're in the process. So it's going to be a beautiful park, but it's just taking some time.
It happens. It's all right. And the fact that you can't get after the contractor to get it done because they're all doing it for free.
Hey, it's my brother, actually, and he's been a contractor for 43 years or 45. And I called him and I said, your daughter went on a mission and you're not the bishop anymore. Could you just take a little time and help me?
You got nothing to do.
And he's in his 60s, but he was generous enough to say, I can run that project. I asked him, how many hours do you think it's going to take for you to general this? He goes, I bet you that by the time I'm done, it's probably more than 200.
Wow.
Because it just takes time to call all the people and organize and go check it out and make sure everything's right and get the inspectors there. But I'm just really appreciative. And that's Ted Dutton. He's awesome. I really appreciate him.
Ted?
Uh-huh.
Ted. Way to go, Ted. Thank you, Ted.
That's right.
I appreciate it.
How
many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm from a family of 13, so I have 5 brothers and 8 sisters, or 8 girls, so 7 sisters.
5 and 8. Well, nice.
Pretty lucky.
Where do you fit in? Are you older or younger?
5.
You're one of the older ones. Mm-hmm. Okay. My mother was a family. They had 9 children, and she was the second oldest, and she basically was second mom, you know, because once you get older and then your parents keep having kids, all of a sudden you're changing diapers and doing all the stuff that an older sibling does. So did you, I guess you had some of that too, probably.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I did all those things
I'm 4th out of 5, so for me, I didn't really have any of that.
I tell my younger sisters, I change your diaper, so you can change mine when I'm old. And they laugh.
I actually tell my kids that, and they're like, oh, that ain't happening, Dad. Sorry. We'll get the hose out and spray you down or something.
You get outside the cold.
All right. Hurricane obviously growing like a weed, not in a bad way, but just growing like crazy. And it's up to the Hurricane City government to try to keep up. That's not a small job, is it?
No, there's a lot here. We've got, it's 54 square miles. It's huge. And we're really 23-24% developed. So we have a lot of land that's still open. And that constitutional right of developing property, people come in and sometimes they'll say, just shut the door, no more building. Mm-hmm. But the real issue is if it's zoned in the appropriate zoning, they can build. And so people are. And they're wanting to develop that property.
Now that I'm here, shut the door. Come on, don't let anybody else in, right? How many times have we heard that?
Sure. Yeah.
A lot. If I'd have said that, they'd have really done it when I got here. I got here in 93, but you would have been one of those saying, no, you can't come here. I was already here. Yeah. So I'm glad you didn't do that. I'm happy to
Me
be
too.
Here. I've been
we have
here
a good 30, community.
30 plus years.
I want to be able to let my kids stay, but we have good people that have moved here, and they're good neighbors, good friends.
Yeah. So. Now, how many kids do you have, Nana?
5. Yeah, and 7 grandkids.
Your kids do, how many of them live here in the
3.
Area?
3. Three. Out of 5. Yep.
You're lucky.
I am lucky.
I have one that lives in town here, one in Cedar, and then the rest are up in northern Utah.
Yeah, I have 2 in northern Utah.
So, and that makes it hard when holidays come because you want to see your grandbabies, but they're up there and they don't want to come in. I don't blame my one son has 4 kids. And they're coming down for Thanksgiving, but I don't think they've been down for a couple of years because you ever tried to travel with 4 kids?
Yeah,
that's tough. All right, what are some of the projects you're working on in it?
So let me just start with a couple of things that are happening within the city. So our police, our chief of police, Lynn Exel, is retiring. So we have that coming up.
He's been chief of police forever, hasn't he?
37 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got some changeover in that department.
Now, I lived in Hurricane for 7 years, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes, I did.
And he was chief of police then. Yeah. That was in the late 90s. Yeah.
An officer for a year or so when he moved from the Leverican office because he was in Leverican when he was hired in Hurricane, and he had been there just a month or two when he became the chief. So he's been a chief for a very long time in Hurricane.
Experience.
Yeah, he's been a blessing to our community, really.
Okay, so are you having like a special retirement dinner
or
ceremony?
I'm not sure when that is, so I will announce when I hear. But yes, and then So Mike Versmack, he's been with our public works for a long time, but he's not ready to retire yet, but we're hiring someone else to assist him so that they can learn what needs to happen within our community, because okay. he will retire sometime. And right now we are going to hire somebody in the next couple of years that he can help train them.
So maybe a mentorship kind of apprentice to the job. Okay. Yep.
And then we have Corey Wright in our water department that's starting to transition and help with more things for Ken Richens, because Ken is talking about retiring in March, and so we're looking at some. But Ken's been amazing over our water. I was kind of telling you a few projects with our water.
Yeah.
Right now we are building a 2 million gallon tank, and I think we'll be going out to bid on that in like the next week or so. Maybe two.
I was trying to think who builds it. I mean, what, I can't. Is there a local company or two that does that kind of thing?
There are, and it's Alf Engineering that did the engineering on this, and they will be the ones that will be in charge of the project to put it out to bid. But it's a 2 million gallon tank that we need out in the south portion by Sky Ranch.
Okay,
and we have a test well currently at the south part of close to this tank that we're talking about, where I'm starting to drill so we can test the water in that area, because we're really hoping for culinary grade. Yeah. We just tested near Three Falls, and we got the water testing back, and that's more of the fault line. So it's on that fault line, but it's close to, I'm trying to think, it's like the Apple Valley fault line, and so that water is secondary use. And then our Dixie Springs well, it's close to be up and running. We have Dixie Power over there right now hooking power to it, and then we're going to get this booster station things up. So that well should be going soon. We just went out to bid and had a pre-construction meeting for our secondary irrigation, so from Gould's Wath. So everything that's from the north, where the bluff is at for the Virgin River, when you go up on the hill, everything from the north to Gould's Wash is part of our irrigation that we have currently outside.
Okay.
Current. But everything from Gould's Wash on about 400 south around there to 1500 south is where we're building the new secondary system. And that is in the inner part of the historic canal flow of water. And it goes from the hill about 60 east to about 1700 west. And then about 400 south to about 1500 south. And we're expanding that irrigation.
Wow.
And it's going to be a great project so that we have pressurized instead of having water just go into the ditch to absorb. It will help with water savings. It's usually 30% or 40%. It's quite a bit of savings to have it go through the pressurized pipe. And then right now we've just barely gone out to bid, and Interstate Rock won the bid for our new irrigation ponds where the water will come in from the canal. And so they're starting to work on that, and it will come in to those ponds that it will settle because it's set for sediment, and then it will flow into the irrigation lines. But it'll take almost 2 years to get this completed for the irrigation expansion.
I want to go back to that water tank.
Okay.
Tell me the reason that you would build a 2 million gallon tank.
Yeah.
What is the specific reason? Are they having a hard time with water pressure out there?
Water pressure for sure.
Okay.
And we actually have several water tanks, so this isn't the first one, but this is because of when you loop the water, that helps solve that problem, but also the pressure for sure. We need the water out there for the pressure, for fire flows.
How many houses are out that way?
Oh, well, what's plotted and ready to go out, 10,000. There's a lot.
So right now there's not 10,000, but there's going to be.
But there's a lot there. And so it's just, we need it for that, for the fire pressure.
When you go through projects like this and you talk to Zach over at the Water Conservancy District, what kind of permitting, what kind of process does that go through? Do you say, Zach, we need this?
Yeah, it's not through the water district.
Oh, it's not?
No, because we end up using our shares from our wells to go into that.
Okay.
And then we build our tanks. So we could build a tank and put the district's water in it, but that would just be purchasing water wholesale from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do that, but we don't go through the permitting. It's not through the district.
Okay. Okay, so you're not really tapping into the main water supply of that the county has. You've got your own water supply.
I won't say that because it's all one water, really. Yeah, I mean, we use the aquifers and our river, Virgin River. We just have one source, which is, and I'm not going to say just one source, but in this area, like we have Hurricane City owns shares in the Tokerville Falls, Ash Creek, and then we have groundwater. Right. That we can have our wells. And so that's really where we get our source.
Now, Zach tells me that below the Temp Hot Springs, the water becomes kind of almost poisonous. It becomes almost unusable with all the minerals, especially salt in it. How does that affect what you do? I mean, do you have to?
So Hurricane City, because of our water rights through Tokerville Falls, we have a line that comes from Tokerville, and it's really gravity fed all the way from Tokerville Falls over to Hurricane. You don't really see that difference in the elevation from there, but it's there. And so it's a gravity fed line from Tokerville Falls clear to Hurricane, also Ash Creek. And then when you're talking about that water at Powell Temp, Hurricane Canal Company, so they, if you know anything about Hurricane Canal, where it was developed, it went clear above Virgin. So right, it's before the diversion, okay. Or where the diversion is, where you're, it's way above the Potempi bad water.
Right.
And so there, it's not the same. And so the water that goes out into our fields right now for canal share water, it's not poisonous or bad water, like what comes to Washington. Yeah. It really, and it's, I don't know if I can say it's poisonous because Washington's been using it for 150 years to water their farms. And so
it's
St. George.
It's not drinkable though. Let me put it that way.
No, it's not. And it's, but it's for irrigation and that's what they use it for.
How does Chief Toker Reservoir that they're building, how's that going to affect all of this?
Oh, good question. So Ash Creek is our sewer district. And, and so Hurricane, Leverican, Tokerville, and now Virgin has just joined, and Apple Valley. And so when you consider who's part of it, the water that's coming into Toker Reservoir really will be from Ash Creek. Mm-hmm. It will also come from the Confluence Park where we're building the Ash Creek. So when I say Ash Creek, I mean the actual creek. Right. And then the Ash Creek Sewer District is building the Confluence Park, which is reuse to type one. And so all of the sewer water from Tokerville, Leverican, and there's a small little 5% from Hurricane that will go in there. And then when Virgin connects, it will come in as well. But that will go down to that sewer treatment in Confluence Park, and then it will be funneled over in a trunk line to the Chief Toker Reservoir.
Okay.
And so they'll switch. Right now they're using perfectly good spring water in Tokerville on their outside watering in Tokerville and Leverkin. And this will switch, and they'll be using reuse water on the outside. And this will become the culinary water, which Hurricane City uses a culinary now. It's just they and others, like Tokerville, with this new bypass road that's going to open up, they'll have 1,200 new homes coming in there and businesses. It's actually a business route and loop right through there, too. So they're going to have some development. They'll be able to switch and use that perfectly good spring water on culinary for their homes and the development there.
The word I got is that Tokerville will go from 1,700 residents to 17,000 residents over the next decade and a half or whatever.
Yeah, I believe 10 or 15 years.
It'd be crazy. So that will definitely have an effect on things for sure. And for those that don't know what we're talking about with Ash Creek, there's that little creek that runs there, and it would gather what they call the Ash Creek Reservoir, which is not really a reservoir, it's just this natural lake.
Yeah.
And if you're driving up, you know, if you're driving up I-15 and you look on the left right before you get to New Harmony, that's where sometimes it's full, sometimes it's empty. Right now it's empty. At least last time I drove that way, it was just muddy, empty.
Mm-hmm.
And the water district is trying to capture that and use that. Most of that water will go into the Toker Reservoir.
Yep.
So, and I actually asked Zach, I said, does that mean Ash Creek Reservoir will now be empty forever from here on out? He said, actually, no, it doesn't mean that at all. Yeah. He said, we could still have quite a bit of water. He said, I wouldn't build a house in the middle of that mud where the Ash Creek Reservoir is because it's still going to be kind of mucky and muddy.
Right.
All right, let me check time. Oh, we got to do a weather break. So we'll do more. In fact, we're going to talk about the fire district, the Hurricane Valley Fire District a little bit when we come back. But first, we're going to check weather. So that's okay with you, Nanette. That
Perfect.
Cool? All right, let's do it.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
It's Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show, and I've got a mayor. I think, sorry guys, but I got the best looking mayor around in Billings. Yeah,
There's a lot of good looking mayors.
There are some good looking mayors.
We have
mayors
some great
there,
people.
I would put you up against Bill Hoster any day, though.
Okay.
I think you got him covered. Got him beat on that.
He's great. I love him. He's great. And his wife good. Troy is amazing. I love her.
Good people.
She's a good golfer.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Really? Now you golf, right?
I do like to golf.
I kind of gave up golf in the 90s. That was when we had five kids, and golf takes two things, time and money, and yes. I didn't have either one of those
there
things in the 90s. So, and I need to get back out.
Well, I'm not good at it. I said I like to do it. I just said I just go for fun.
Well, and I think it takes time and money to just to play it. To be good at it, it takes more time and more money.
That's right, and that's why I'm not good at
yeah.
it.
So, and I'm very tall. I'm 6'5", and I usually golfed with secondhand clubs or clubs I bought at, you know, garage sale or something. They were never long enough, so I ended up kind of having to bend over to hit the ball. And yeah, I wonder if I took lessons and had custom clubs that were long enough for me, I wonder if I could be good at it. I don't know, but it'd be nice to try. But again, it still takes time and money, and I still don't have either one of those things. So. Nanette, thanks for coming on the show today. Let's talk fire a little bit. The Hurricane Valley Fire District covers, obviously, the Hurricane Valley. Are you satisfied as mayor of Hurricane City with response times, with the coverage that you're getting from the Hurricane Valley Fire District?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
I talked to Commissioner Snow on Tuesday mm-hmm. before they had their meeting to vote on that 52% tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, there's something else to consider, because his comment was, well, I don't want to tell the board how they run their budget and if they have the right numbers, because I feel like they're closest to the people. They'll know that. And I agree with him.
Right.
But I did say I really think that we can actually ask the question, do we need to keep that service, that level of service, in order to make so that we keep that same budget, was the question.
Right.
It's difficult because government can always say we need, always.
Always.
And so it's really hard to say, do we need it? And I'm not going to say that we don't. I'm not going to say we do. I'm just going to say the question is, do we want to raise taxes so we have it? And that's the question. And so when you come down to the bottom line, when the fire district a few years ago hired 51 people, it brought us to that service. And so when you have five people in every station for 24 hours a day, and our fire, they're doing a great job.
Right.
There's ambulance and paramedics and our fire, they're showing up, they're quick, they're doing what needs to be done. But the question is, do we need that type of service? It's hard to say but as far as the commission has just approved this, so it is approved that next year on your property tax within Hurricane, Leverkin, Springdale, Rockville,
Tokerville,
Leeds, Virgin, also Kolob and the unincorporated part of the county, those areas are all going to have a tax increase of 52%. So in the article, like I looked at mine, I pay $390 and it's going to go up to like $420 or something like that. It's significant. It's 52% of what you're paying. So
it's a weird thing because you talk about the service. Okay. You know, if you have an emergency, if your shed's on fire, or if your loved one cuts their arm
right.
or has a heart attack, it's worth every penny to have quick service,
sure.
competent service that is going to save a life or maybe save a building or save whatever. And then you have the other side of it. It's like, well, gosh, I got to pay an extra $150 a year. This is going to hurt.
And I know people have different opinions on this. I put myself in a situation where I try to be confident in the things that I'm doing, where I absolutely Like if there's a problem, I try taking care of it instead of having to require extra services. If I put myself in a situation mm-hmm. of hoping that I can take care of it, not have to call search and rescue and not do things that I would have to call.
Right.
But there's always the people that need something. So we have a lot of calls and some of them are very frivolous calls. And so that does show on the call volume because they really didn't maybe need to call an ambulance or the police, but they do. And so can you get away from that? Not really. You're going to have people that feel like government is the answer, that they can solve the problem, and that maybe they don't even have to pay for it because they are getting something for free.
Yeah.
The people that actually pay for those services with the property taxes, and they're trying to have the increase with sales tax, which if they have the sales tax, they're hoping to take away the property at this point, the increase in not take away property tax, but have property tax where it was at and then just have sales tax. But Representative Elison is presenting that bill. It's been up there two different sessions and has not been passed the way that will help the district. And so if that passes in March or, you know, between January and March, we can see that maybe being rolled back. But right now they were trying to manage their budget and they have a fiscal year. I mean, we're on a fiscal year with our city, but they're on an annual, like starting in January till the end of December, your budget with the fire district. And so they were trying, and you always have to say, this is the amount of money that we have. This is what our budget is. And they aren't able to stay in a budget because they have too much going out for wages.
So you are, I know you, and I know I'm the same way. Less government is better. You know, we don't want government in our affairs, and less taxes, of course, is better. Is it hard for you to resolve the service versus the extra taxes, and time inflation right now is hard, and you're talking about a tax increase. Is it hard for you to kind of wrap that all together?
Well, my initial answer is always you don't have to raise taxes.
Right.
You can work within the budget you have, right. Figure it out. Every family has to do it. Every business has to do it.
Sure.
And every government should be doing it. It's very difficult to just say, we need more, so give me more. And that's why I look at my own family budget or our city budget, and I say, we don't have to raise taxes. We have to figure out how to live within this. And
well,
a proponent of figuring it out. So that was where I came back to, do we need this service? Because is it okay for us to go back and backstep this a little bit and say, we don't have to have that service? But that's not what the commissioners voted on. And so this is where we're at, and they're hoping that they can pull this back in January, February, March, and just say, hey, we have the sales tax, which they're hoping that the revenue from sales tax comes from not just visitors, because they keep going, well, the visitors can help pay for this. And I believe that that's very fair to say, well, the visitors are here. They're
using it.
They're using it. Yeah. But they use about 20% of the service, and they're paying 20% of it. Like our the TRT tax, which is from your transient room, that tax is being paid, and it's about that percentage of the budget. So they are, and that money is coming from the commission to pay $600,000 towards the district. So there are some things that are already being paid that way. But is it better to say they're going to help pay for the sales tax? Yes, but it also increases mine. When I looked at it, I spend a lot of money. And so when I look at how much money I'm sorry, honey. That's just the way it is. When I talk to my husband, I'm sorry. But when I buy something and it's going to be taxed at a higher amount, that's more money that's coming out of my pocket. One way or the other, either property or sales, I'm going to have an increase in tax. And as I talked to my other business owners, like I was actually talking to Donald Stratton about this before. This was like a year ago. And he said, one of the challenges is if it's only in this fire district and not in the entire county, it's very easy to say, I'm going to call St. George Schulson's to order my pipe. Because he's at Interstate Rock.
Yeah.
He says, I can get my $1 million of pipe this month, and I'll save $10,000 on that pipe just buying it in St. George rather than have them delivered in Hurricane, because I called the St. George office and paid for it over there. So it will affect tax base in your city if it's not. So that's why Joey Lucen's trying to pass the bill that it's going to affect everywhere, not just Hurricane Valley Fire District. This is going to affect Washington and St. George and Ivins and Santa Clara and all of it, everywhere.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to change it so that they can have the emergency response be taken care of from the sales tax to help with it.
All right. Hurricane Valley Fire District will, for now, live on as is, right?
And, yeah.
And hopefully, like you said, we can maybe peel that tax back and you have it covered in sales tax eventually.
And I said, you know, I've never seen government take a tax away once they put it on.
Yeah.
So that's always concerning. And I just felt like, oh, why do that? But this is where we are. This is where we're at. And they voted to do it. So they're trying to solve the budget problem.
We're going to take another commercial break. It's Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show. Nanette Billings, bake a pie with Nanette, right? That should be a TV show, I think. We'll be back after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Nanette Billings, mayor of Hurricane, is here. Hi, Nanette.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Thanks for coming on. All this fight about Northern Corridor, it's been a hot topic this week on the show.
Very hot.
Doesn't have a ton to do with you, or does it?
Oh, yeah. It connects clear over to I-15 so Hurricane residents can get over to this area.
Yeah.
Okay. We were in DTEC on Tuesday talking about it. And honestly, the solution they've come up with is not a solution.
No.
You're saying you're going to take out all these businesses and you're going to try to expand something. Yeah. Just the expense of trying to, you have to eminent domain all of those places. And that would mean you are paying for right-of-ways along that entire,
a lot of money.
And so you're just talking, the probably the very most important thing is in the 2009 bill, it says where the corridor will go. It says it's going to be in this area. And now they're trying to move it to another area.
Right.
That's the whole issue. Is they're not doing what they've actually have in legislation.
And they've actually spent millions of dollars to get it ready.
Millions.
All these roads and everything is ready for it to come. And then now they're saying, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah. And it's still to protect our habitat, and it's still to make sure that cars can function properly and people can get around.
I lived in Hurricane, and I remember once we got tickets to a Tuacon show. Mm-hmm. That was a trip this was back in the 90s. That was a trip driving from Hurricane to Ivins through St. I mean, that, you know, it would sure be nice to have somewhere that was a little easier to get there.
I'm going to tell you, I'm really bothered when we talk about an environmental group saying something, because I'm an environmentalist. Absolutely.
Sure.
I was a child and we bought turtles in Las Vegas and brought them here. They got away. We had them, like, we drilled a hole in their shell. They got away. And so who knows where they went in this area.
Right.
But I'm going to say they were not native to this area. There were no turtles when I was growing up in this area.
Yeah.
And so maybe you can call we're part of the problem, but condors were not part. They're not native here. They brought them here, and now they're spending $1 million to feed them. Mm. I'm just saying, when they're not native and you're protecting something, it's really difficult. And I'm not saying we should kill the torsos. I'm saying you still have to accommodate for the humans that are here. And we want to do that. We want to accommodate for the turtles, but we found that they love culverts. We found that they can go through them easily.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we found that we can still cohabitate together. We don't have to say one or the other. It's not one or the other. It's we can both work it out and make it work.
We were not to change the subject on you, but I did want to talk about this. 15 years ago, Nanette Billings, we'd have talked about water rights and water issues and the Hurricane Valley Fire District and all that. I mean, did you have any idea a decade and a half ago, that this would be part of who you are?
Busy being a mom, taking care of my family, no. But you can learn whatever it is. If you sit in enough meetings and you study enough, you can learn it.
Nice. And now you are, well, at least learn it. I wouldn't say maybe an expert on everything, but you're learned on it all.
Certainly not an expert. I'll just say I'm just...
I think you're like me. You're like, you know what? I'm not an expert, but I know people who are.
Yeah.
And I'm going to surround myself with those people that do know.
I have said this 100 times, because when Ford Corporation, Henry Ford was going to be kicked out, his board was saying, you aren't capable of taking care of Ford. And they asked him a lot of questions, like who's the president and a lot of things. And he just didn't know. But he said, hey, on my desk, I have a box. And on that box, if I push this number one, I can tell you that answer. Or number five, I can tell you that answer. He goes, I don't have to know all the information. I have to know where to get it. And that's where I'm at.
Nice.
Danger enough to know where to get all the information.
Well, that's a good thing, though. That's a good thing. It's better than, well, I don't know the answer, and I'm not going to know the answer. Now, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to call somebody who does know the answer. And that's
and we
a
bring
big
the
thing.
Right people into the room and have them at the table. You get all of the opinions. Even if you have disagreements, it's okay. But then you're understanding what the other people see. That's why it's really important to, like, have the discussions and have the other views and opinions come to the table.
Have you had the citizens of Hurricane? First of all, how have you felt about the, you know, Hurricane is so broad as far as geographics. I mean, it's, you know, Arizona. I mean, it's have you been able to congeal the community, to have it become one? Is that a hard thing to do right now for Hurricane because it's so spread out?
No, because people come for our Christmas tree festival or our tree lighting, or they come for our 4th of July programs or our Easter egg. It's all Hurricane. So, no, it's good.
That's cool.
We have good people that are just bringing it together.
Well, I got a couple of minutes. I did want to ask, do you know of events that are coming up that in Hurricane that we need to let people know about?
Yeah, so the day after Thanksgiving, not the day after Thanksgiving, though.
That's Black
Monday.
Friday.
Yes, the Black Friday, there's going to be sales going on, and we have a new Ace Hardware, and it is a beautiful store. I went in and bought some awesome Christmas presents for some of my family. Got some really cute purses for some of my daughter-in-laws, and they're not listening. I know they're not on But I got, I mean, they have Bucks some really awesome things there. I did buy two guns, honestly, so there you go. But I will
You're like a guy. You're addicted to buying guns.
I am. But I will tell you, the Black Friday is going to be big. But on Monday, December 2nd, we have a tree lighting at 6 o'clock where we'll have donuts and hot chocolate.
December 2nd. Yep. So the Monday after Thanksgiving.
On December 2nd, Monday, at 6 o'clock, we'll have a tree lighting, and we'll have a live nativity. We'll have donuts and hot chocolate. They have a little carriage ride. They have a little train ride. They have other fun activities, and Santa Claus will be there, and Falmouth can bring their kids to talk to Santa.
And this is where?
This is at our community center, the North Bell Tower Lawn.
Okay.
In Hurricane. So right there at 6 o'clock on December 2nd. Then the next week, the 12th through the 14th, we're having a Christmas tree festival, and that's to raise money for our Shop with a Cop. And we help families that are in need. And the cops actually shop with those children to help them.
It's
amazing because those kids, occasionally, you know, they'll get one or two presents, like that's a toy. But they go in and get socks and underwear and clothes, because a coat. They need things. And they know what they need. And it's really amazing to see the beautiful contributions that come from our community.
Now, what does a Christmas tree festival entail?
A lot of Christmas trees and decorations, but people can, they can bid on a tree if they want to take one home and not have to decorate one, and then see ideas. We also have, it's the Zion Guild, it's the Quilt Guild, and they have donated a Shop with a Cop quilt, and also one in our city office for veterans, that people can buy a ticket for those, and kind of, it's just a raffle where they can win one of these quilts, but it's Shop with a Cop and then our Veterans Memorial. So those are a couple of things coming up.
Did you know, Nanette, Utah is number one in the nation for volunteer hours, that people
That's
want
so
to help.
People
love to serve others here in the state of Utah. And this is right along those veins. People say, I want to help.
Laverican's also holding a Winterfest, and they'll have a lot of volunteers helping with that. And that will be the next week or the week before. So the week of the 6th, 7th.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of good things over in the east side of the county.
Tis the season, right?
Yeah.
We all need to get, I have a soft spot in my heart for people who are alone during the holidays, because everybody's got family all around, but there are people out there that don't have family around, that people, and so, just volunteering, going and, I mean, loneliness is a real thing in this world. And so if you can help someone not be lonely, that's big, too.
Text one of your neighbors and ask them to come for Thanksgiving or Christmas. I texted one yesterday, and I think she's going to come over. So it's really good to have that.
Nanette Billings, Hurricane City Mayor. Thank you, Nanette, for coming today.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Big city council meeting tonight out in Hurricane. Thanks for listening, everybody. Open line tomorrow. Mello will be here. We'll talk to you then.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.